Welcome. You are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. We would love to hear from you, so send us your email, question, or comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today, we are very delighted and happy to have with us Dr. Haywood Robinson. Now, Dr. Robinson was a former abortionist who now has become a pro-life doctor, advocate, and a worker. Talk about the beautiful gift of reparation. He is the director of medical affairs and education for 40 Days for Life, and he is the co-author of a fantastic book recounting his story, and it's called The Scalpel and the Soul, the radical transformation of a husband and wife. And they were married, they were abortion doctors, and then God done turned them around. You can get this great book. It's available at ewtnrc.com. And Dr. Haywood sharing, if you didn't get it yesterday, you need to go on YouTube on demand, get it so you can watch it. Yeah. Today is going to be another great show. You don't want to miss his sharing.
It's like a conversation with St. Paul.
Yeah.
Maybe some different circumstances. And you know, you almost, when his conversion took place and his late wife, Noreen, you know, it's kind of like Christians are like, this guy was an abortion doctor. It's the same thing. Mm. Barnabas had to say, I know he persecuted Christians. I know he consented to their death. But I'm telling you, the guy's changed. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ has changed his life. And that's true for you, too. In the midst of this throwaway culture, the culture of death, and Dr. Robinson and his wife participated in that, Jesus Christ did not throw them away. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ continued to pursue them. I want to share a quote from his late wife. We had no relationship with God, but that never means that God doesn't have a relationship with you, with us. We are his creation. How grateful we are that God doesn't wait for a listening ear before he speaks to a wandering heart. Let me say that again. How grateful we are that God doesn't wait for a listening ear before he speaks to that wandering heart. Mm-hmm. Is your heart wandering? Mm-hmm. Are you condemning yourself? Have you had an abortion? You paid for an abortion, whatever it might be. God wants to forgive you, and God wants to bring life out of that testimony. So he's for you. He's trying to speak to you even in this show. And you can know the freedom of forgiveness. You can be forgiven and set free. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are delighted to have Dr. Haywood Robinson with us. Now, Dr. Robinson was a former abortionist. He became a pro-life doctor, advocate, and a worker. He is the director of medical affairs at a beautiful organization, 40 Days for Life, and I'm sure you have heard about it. And he is the co-author of a fantastic book recounting his story, the story of he and his wife. The name of the book is Scalpel and the Soul, a radical transformation of husband and wife doctors who were former abortionists. You can get this great book at ewtnrc.com. Well, I mean, we just need more time. But yesterday, as we were sharing, we talked about how we dehumanize, desensitize, just compartmentalize our feelings, our souls, where we are with people. And no connection to the woman. You don't want to see her face. You don't want to go face to face with you. You're in the room, you're out of the room. Procedure taken care of. But that woman is injured emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. There's separation from a very natural thing that she was designed by God Almighty to do, to grow that baby in her womb. In that interruption process, the procedure's done for maybe a second. She might have a little bit relief, but there's going to be great regret and shame and guilt. And we could pretend as a culture that women are fine. Women need abortion. Abortion is women's health care. I mean, we all hear it. It's my body. It's my choice. All the lies from the pit of hell. What can we do for women? What's out there for women who've had abortions, who need hope and healing and restoration. So they can too sit on and tell their story and say, I had an abortion, I was injured, and I was an abortionist, I too was injured, and tell their story.
Well, that's where we come in as believers. Believers as former abortionists, believers as the receptionists in that facility, the believer who's might be that facility director, like an Abby Johnson, mm-hmm. who you've had on your show, who is intertwined in my whole story and the 40 Days for Life story. The number one thing, if we're talking about that woman, we've got to remember that she has been injured, whether she knows it or not. And it's unfortunate to watch celebrities and other figures talk about, well, you need to celebrate your abortion. Really, women do not want to celebrate the abortion. They have been injured. An abortion is always going to be a traumatic experience. Even in a situation where someone said, well, you know, if someone has incest with a 12-year-old, you're telling me they shouldn't have an abortion. Well, it would be equivalent to a physician saying, well, your right leg is broken. Do you know what we're going to do to make it better? We're going to break your left leg. An abortion is nothing more than a secondary trauma. Interesting thing about rape and incest and a child that's mm-hmm. not expected in that unfortunate situation, the child actually becomes one of the healing medicine, so to speak, for that mother, because it's the hormones and the bonding with the child and love that actually leads to more of the healing of that mother. But there's so many, you know, factors involved. We got to remember, when we look at this whole baby killing Holocaust that we're in, this is not just a United States problem. In the United States, we only have about 2% of the global abortions. We're talking about 60 million babies a year. Okay, so this is a long-standing Holocaust. If we read the Bible, we can go back millennia. We can go back 3,000 years, 4,000 years, and see how, unfortunately, the devil has been successful in causing us to believe that we can shed innocent mm-hmm. blood. Mm-hmm. So it's the same story from the same guy. He just packages it differently.
Yeah. Well, it brings to mind, speaking about women and the need for post-abortion healing, both for men and women, for anyone who's been involved with that, because you got grandmas and grandpas that have paid for abortions, and then they come to the place where they say, I think I made a mistake and it's too late. I think of Rachel Vineyard Retreat Weekends. Rachel Vineyard Retreat Weekends, people can search that. It's a wonderful time for people to go away for 2 or 3 days, reflect on this, be with other people who've had this experience, be with people experienced in leading you through the way of healing and forgiveness and mercy. There's a site called Option Line, optionline.org, option, O-P-T-I-O-N, optionline.org. If you go there, anybody who's listening to us now, you might be considering abortion now. You can go to optionline.org, and all you do is put in your zip code, and it will give you thousands of pregnancy medical centers throughout this country, even different parts of the world, where you can go and receive help. Get a free ultrasound, speak with people that can support you, or you can also find out from those centers where you are, just put in your zip code, post-abortion healing. So they might be doing post-abortion healing there at the center. They might be involved with Rachel's Vineyard or another group. They might have groups for men. But you need to be able to converse about this and to get it out, because Satan wants to isolate you.
That's right.
And so he's not content with the child's demise and being aborted, being killed. He wants to torment men and women that have been involved in abortion. And Christ wants to set you free. Mm. He wants you to know his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, just as you've experienced it. Who are you to be speaking about this? You were an abortionist. Right. But you're a child of God. Right. And God has pursued you and pursued your former wife. And those who are forgiven much love much. You're here to love much, to share your story, that if I'm redeemable, anybody's redeemable. And that's what he wants to do in women's lives, people who've been involved. is to forgive them, set them free, and you will become, as John Paul II said, you'll become one of the most eloquent spokespersons on behalf of the gospel of life. And I'll tell you something, in CPC centers and out at the abortion mills, some of the most effective counselors are people who've had abortions. Not that you want people to have abortions so that they can be that. They would never say, I can never do that. How can you do that? Because they've done it one time, two times, five times, however many, till they got converted, till they understood, till that child was humanized, until they received the mercy and forgiveness of God. And that's your story. And that's what God wants to do. He not only wants to forgive you, he wants to use you as he sees fit at the right time for his glory and for his honor.
Amen. And I just want to reinforce what you said about how the enemy will then go that way. Don't tell anybody about this, because if you tell them about your abortion, they're going to condemn you. I can't tell you how many times in that exam room, once I knew how abortion hurt women, when you ask them about their obstetrical history, don't just ask them, well, how many times did you get pregnant? How many babies did you have? No. When you walk through each pregnancy and you get to that third one and you see the head go down, and then they say, well, I haven't ever told anyone this, but I had an abortion, my parents never found out, and they carry this burden and this guilt. But let me tell you, we've got now millions of women out there who have been set free.
Yes.
The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And then they're able to come out of the closet, so to speak, and know that they have been indeed forgiven, where they can start then creating their own testimony. For instance, with me, who would have thought that I could meet this woman in residency, we become abortionists, we kill children for money, and then God saves us, then we go and become pro-life warriors, and then we wind up in a town where a ministry like 40 Days for Life gets started. I'm there for the first prayer vigil that we have, and right there in front of our Planned Parenthood building right there on 29th Street. And a few years after that, there's a woman in there named Abby Johnson that walks out after seeing an ultrasound-guided abortion, and then she becomes a big pro-life warrior. And then the icing on the cake is where those two physicians then are able to move their practice into that closed Planned Parenthood building because 40 Days for Life was able to buy it. Now that's a story only God can write.
Right.
To God be the glory.
I hear Satan screaming and I hear the angels and saints saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
No, it is, right? And when you think of that, and even as your wife knew that you needed to get out of LA and move, like, what was that about?
That's, you talked about this in the green room there. God's prevenient grace. And Noreen wrote about it, how God is working and giving these hints, like Terry Tackle, the prophetic voice. And it shows that even, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
You see, so he was working since the foundation of the earth just for you, just for me in our moment of time, just for Saul in his moment of time, and how he has a testimony for each and every one of us. So that's why it doesn't matter if you've had an abortion, if you worked in a facility, or you force someone to get an abortion, there's a pathway for you that the Lord has already designed, and you just have to step into
And it. And there's a lot of other sins, besides these sins that we're mentioning, that could lead to hell for you. People out there, so it'd be like, why would I read this book? I don't have an abortion. I'm not an abortionist. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that could be terminal for your life, for your eternity. And this book really goes through, you know, Daphne, your wife now, was asking me, what was the section of the book you liked most? So I said, I didn't like a section, but I just got so much out of the mystery of iniquity and your sharing about that, the seduction of Satan, really understanding more who he is. Because once you understand who he is and what he's about, you can avoid him. You can get him out of your life. And then the ways that God works, his grace, which is just incredible. You know, as Noreen mm-hmm. said, you know, we weren't listening, but that doesn't, God wants you to listen, but even if you're not, he goes after the wandering heart. Mm-hmm. He wants to speak into that ear. Amen. He'll send somebody into your life. He'll draw you back somehow, some way. He's not going to give up on you all the way to the end. He's pursuing you. And yes. our viewing audience needs to understand that. And so there's two groups of people. You know, there's those that say, I can never be forgiven for what I did. And they're closing mm-hmm. God out. And the other ones are like, you know, we think we're doing God a favor because we're on track with God. That's really dangerous stuff. You got to persevere to the end. And we act sometimes like we're saved from nothing. Amen. You know, those who know Amen. They're saved from something are those who are going to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ because they have that sense of forgiveness there. Mary Magdalene kind of people who, you know, bathe Christ's feet with perfume and with their tears and let down their hair and just love him. Those are the kind Amen. Of Christians we need in this time.
That's being greedy with grace, isn't it?
Totally.
I tell you, what you're talking about there, Jim, and that is how God leaves the 99 to go after just one. Mm-hmm. You know, for someone who doesn't know the Lord, they're thinking, well, you know, the Lord has yeah. Jim and he right. has Joy and he's got right. Dr. Robinson, you know, he doesn't really care about me. I'm a drug addict. My father told me I wasn't nothing. I'm never going to be nothing. And I don't really want to be nothing, but God will go after that person with the same aggressiveness, with the same abundance of grace. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past, and he's there for that person, whether it's abortion related, yeah. whether it's murder, whether it's lying, cheating, stealing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God wants you back home.
Right, and I think a beautiful thing in the book that you share so well, and so does Noreen, you both talk so beautifully about your mothers. And I think for everybody out there, you're a praying mother. This man is a result of a praying mother. And so was Noreen. And so you think, oh, you know, what would it be like to have a son or daughter who's an abortionist? And you're thinking they're one thing and they're doing another thing. Mm-hmm. God knew. And your mother was praying, and so was Noreen's mother praying. Mm-hmm. And you're here. So we can't give up praying. You think, oh, all I'm doing is praying. Don't cease praying. And we have to pray. We have to pray for our country. We have to pray for our children. We have to pray for our spouses. We are in a season now of great prayer, great fasting, because great things are going to happen, and God's going to do great things with us all.
We're going to take a break at this point, and we'll hold you over for the final segment. We look forward to hearing more from you. It's The Scalpel and the Soul, Our Radical Transformation as Husband and Wife Abortion Doctors. God wants to do it for you as well. Mm. Do I really need transformation? Every day. Every day we need conversion and transformation. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Welcome back. We continue our conversation with Dr. Robinson Haywood. And when we concluded our time in the last segment, we were speaking about individuals, your parents, your mom, Noreen's mom, and their prayers for you. And that prayer makes a difference. So share with us about the importance of prayer, 40 Days for Life, how that works its way out in that. And so just share with us about that.
Well, first, moms, boy, I tell you, they pray, and do they make a difference? I know my mother was a praying woman. Noreen's mom was a praying mom, and I know the exact place where she used to pray there in her bedroom there in Trinidad. And she used to say how she would walk through each and every child, grandchild, niece and nephew by name every mm-hmm. night. And I used to actually watch her on with her knees on the teak yeah. floor, just motionless yeah. praying. Mm-hmm. The prayers of the righteous do indeed avail much.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. But to know that those prayers could lead to me being involved with an awesome ministry, 40 Days for Life, basically since its inception, to be there at the very first prayer vigil in 2007.
Yeah.
There you were. There was one campaign. Now we move fast forward to 2024.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We now are in almost 700 campaigns. We're in more than 50 countries.
Right.
And that shows how important the Lord feels prayer is.
Right.
Because God would not grow it if it wasn't for what he wants. We've seen more than 25,000 babies that we know of mm-hmm. that have been saved mm-hmm. when we've prayed in front of these abortion facilities. We've seen hundreds of individuals who work inside of these killing centers set free and find other work. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome.
Right. And it
awesome
all started out of prayer.
It
we're just
going to
show up
prayer.
In front of the abortion clinics, and we're going to pray. Mm-hmm. We started it here in Birmingham. We
that
heard
year,
about it.
First year.
We were like, we're going to do it here in Birmingham. We're going to pray. And you thought, what's praying going to do? Look what praying did.
It's so effective that, believe it or not, in the place where we think there's plenty of free speech, Scotland, they've actually made silent prayer illegal. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds strange. I know you probably know about it, but...
Yeah.
Think about that.
It's absurd.
You're being, they're saying that basically thinking about something is illegal. And you know why they're doing it? Because they know it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We just have about a minute left. Just a closing word to those that have been watching over these 2 days. Word of encouragement.
Well, the message we want to take home is that we've been killing our children and it's going to have to stop. We look historically, whether it be in the Bible or whatever, God does indeed have a threshold to where he drops the hammer. And it happens not just to the unjust, but it happens to the just. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep praying that the hand of God is going to move against abortion. We've got to save these children. And we know that in the end, we've read the end of the Bible, we know that we as believers win, but in the interim, for as long as we're here on this planet, we've got to use, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by His grace, everything that we can do to fight on His behalf and to believe that we can have life and have it more abundantly.
Dr. Robinson, thank you so much for being a living example of those who are forgiven much, love much. Mm-hmm. May it be true in your life. You're not beyond the reach of the Lord. He is pursuing you even now. Just take a moment, say, Lord, come into my life, transform my life. I want to be able to meet you face to face and not shrink away. God bless you. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.